Today's program is brought to you by Forever Cheese, Masters of the Mediterranean. For more information, visit forevercheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. Welcome to the show. So we got a really cold day in Brooklyn today at Roberta's. It's wicked out there, man. This weather's insane. But the good news is I got a fun guest, and they're in the studio with me, thank God. So I'm very excited about this. Dr. Taylor Truitt of the Vet Set, who was here, I don't know, last year sometime, right?
It's a little over a year ago. It's good to be back. Thank you.
It's great to see you. I'm really psyched that you're here. And when she came on last time, we were just talking about they do house calls, and they do house calls in the New York City area. And so we're going to talk about what they've been doing and all kinds of groovy stuff. So that being said, you're good?
Yeah. Well, it's been a big year.
It really has.
Since I last saw you, we launched the business. We've been getting traction all over Manhattan and Brooklyn.
Awesome.
Most excitingly, about late December, we opened up our hospital in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn at 577 Henry Street.
Nice.
So now we can do both house calls and we can do in-hospital services too. So we're able to do dental care, surgery, radiology,
cool.
Imaging services, hospitalize your pet if needs be.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it too, we still go to people's homes. And so
nice.
We're able to provide the best of both worlds. It's awesome.
So what encouraged you guys to get a storefront?
You know, I think part of it was I could do about 80% of all veterinary care in the home environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great, but at least 20%. So one out of five things. Things that I find really important, such as dental care, I need to have a facility for because you have to have your pet anesthetized to do it.
Totally.
Surgery is important.
Yeah.
You know, just even basic things like spays and neuters.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a surgery facility for that. And imaging, too. I mean, you learn so much from just doing x-rays.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that you can learn from that. So when you put all these things together, it just became important to find a storefront. An opportunity arose. We completely remodeled this facility.
Oh, wow.
It's beautiful. It's all state-of-the-art. It's fear-free architecture so that the pets feel really comfortable.
Cool.
Yeah, we love it.
We want everybody to
come by, and anybody who does, we're more than happy to show off our digs because it's a pretty great place.
So was it a vet clinic before you guys got it?
It was a vet clinic.
Okay.
It needed some love and it needed some money. And so we went in there and basically did a studs out remodel.
I know where you are. Okay, now I know. Wow, you took that spot?
We took that spot.
Wow.
Yes. So we completely gutted it. And
good.
You're not going to recognize it. Everybody who comes in there is just shocked that it's the same place. We built in two up front. We have adoption cages for kittens right
Yay.
Now. Yep, we've got foster cats. We're working with some local rescue groups to
awesome.
Help them out with that. Brooklyn Animal Action's a cat group we're working with.
Oh, cool.
And then we're just able to do everything we need to do. It's anything you need, you can come to us, minus an MRI. Can't do that, but nonetheless, if you need it, we can do it.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
And so, obviously, you can't do all these treatments in your house calls. Like, I mean, can you imagine like going to someone's house and being like, I'm going to neuter your pet on your kitchen table?
Yeah.
It's like,
horrible.
Do you mind? It's like, not a problem here.
Yeah. Testicles need to be removed in a surgical environment.
Right. It's not as easy as the cows and that they show you, you know, just like cut it open and pull them out. No, you don't want that.
No. That's how problems arise. And it's just, you know, you need to have good pain control. You
totally.
Need to have a proper setting for it because we treat our pets like family and everything that we do for them is at the same standard that I would want for my own pet.
And that's huge. Yeah. I mean, that's huge. And this is like with I don't want to diss your career. I really don't.
I have a
because
great
I
career.
Think no, you have an amazing career and I
so
think
do you.
That thank you. Veterinary medicine's hard.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a medical degree. We do make jokes about it. We're like, oh, DVM, so doctor of veterinary medicine, are people who, you know, were the folks that got in, and MDs are the people who couldn't be veterinarians. So that was always my backup plan, was to be a human doctor.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It was like, if
That's
I didn't get
funny.
Into vet school, I'd go take care of people.
So,
but yeah, it's a roller coaster. I mean, there's days where you're dealing with a lot emotionally.
Yeah.
And you're dealing, you know, with some pretty serious situations and conversations with folks. I have a dog right now that I'm taking care of. She's a 9.5-year-old border collie, and she came from rescue. She's got some pretty serious anxiety issues.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, we just diagnosed her with lymphoma.
Oh.
So the owners are dedicated owners, and we are starting injectable chemotherapy with her.
Cool.
But the big thing with her is she freaks out going to the vet. So the big question is with her, because with chemo, they have to hold perfectly still.
Yeah.
You know, is it worth doing the sedation once a week to give her the chemo that's going to keep her alive and hopefully put her in a remission? And so, you know, right now she did great after her first treatment.
Good.
She's feeling a lot better.
Good.
So we're like, you know what, let's just keep going forward.
Good.
And we can always stop.
Good.
So
absolutely. And I mean, what I was saying is the fact of like veterinary medicine is so difficult. And when I was working in a vet hospital, it was really interesting because I was talking to one of our temp doctors. And it was like, you know, what got you into this? And it was, you know, I love animals. I've always loved animals. And I was like, so, you know, we just kept going. And I was like, so all vets love animals. And he was like, not necessarily.
Not really. Yeah.
And it was like, wait, what do you mean? You know, and so it was kind of, in a nice way to put this, oh God, I'm going to be like shot for saying this. He was basically like, people that are veterinarians either come into it because they love animals or because they hate them. And I thought that was a little extreme, you know what I mean? But it was really disheartening to hear that there are veterinarians that really aren't fully involved in or like super duper animal lovers, because I think that's really, really important. You know?
I think there's a lot of, I'd say the vast majority of people love animals. I say that there's some people out there who are veterinarians who don't love people.
That I agree with
you
100%.
That's the problem, because half of my job is people.
Yeah.
If not more of it. If I had little dogs coming in with payment systems,
totally. Oh my God, it'd be awesome.
But I have to work with my owners. I have to get a history from my owners.
Yeah.
I have to have my owners engaged in the treatment and administer the treatment. And if my people don't understand why it is they're doing what they need to be doing, I fail.
Yeah.
It means I haven't done my job.
Yeah.
Because
and that's hard. I mean,
it's communication.
I mean, none of us are good at doctor's offices, straight up, but wow, we are
worst.
Really bad in vet's offices, man. Oh my God. I mean, and I'm up there. I'm not going to pretend that I'm like, you know, good pet owner and I don't lose my mind if my pet's really sick. And that was the hardest thing for me, was kind of getting the, you know, just getting the information out and trying to help these people when they were just so upset. I mean, I found, honestly, that veterinary medicine was way more emotionally intense than human medicine.
I think at times it is, because oftentimes these pets are the most important things that's in their life.
Mm-hmm, totally.
So I've had pets who literally have saved their owner's lives when they were suicidal, and it was the pet that kept them going.
Yep.
I've had pets where, you know, people were going through their own cancer, and the pet would just sit with them, and like that was what kept them going.
Wow.
So these pets are exceptionally important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this one woman once a long time ago, and she wrote me this letter after she lost one of her dogs unexpectedly. And then the other one, who was a geriatric, we had to put him to sleep.
Mm.
And she wrote me this heart-wrenching letter. I still have it. It just makes me, oh, so sad. But she told me she loved her dogs more than she ever loved one of her children.
Whoa.
And
Totally.
And I truly believed it. And she was just, you know, having a really hard time with it. But there it was, all spilled out on a piece of paper. That, you know, and I think it's because even on our worst day, we're still our dog's hero.
Totally.
Our cat probably could care less.
Exactly.
But
cat's like, oh,
I love
it's
my cat.
You again. No, my cats are awesome, but they're not a dog. The love ain't the same. That's
no. Every day the dog's like, I love you. I love you. And the cat's like, where's the food?
Exactly. It's like, I kind of like you. I'll wake you up, though.
I'll choose not to pee on the couch today. Thanks.
Seriously. So what are the most common ailments you guys are seeing these days?
You know, recently we've had a rush of some upper respiratory stuff going on. Mm. I think there's a little thing that's flying around the dog runs. And we see a lot of urinary stuff here
really?
In the city. Yeah, especially cats. Cats have a lot of urinary problems. A lot of them are stress-induced.
Yeah.
About 95% of them have a stress component to it.
Wow.
So we have to manage not just the urinary stuff. Mm. Everybody thinks it's a UTI or urinary tract infection.
Yeah.
But it's really what's called a sterile cystitis, or it's it's a, you know, cystitis meaning inflammation of the bladder, sterile meaning mm-hmm. non-infectious. Mm-hmm. And so then we have to work on, you know, the emotional wellness of the cat.
Wow.
To get them down. And some of these cats do end up on mood stabilizing medications mm-hmm. like fluoxetine, which is Prozac, but it stabilizes them.
It works, huh?
It works. Yeah,
that's
it's
awesome.
Really good. And when you've got people who are freaking out because the cat's being on the couch,
yeah.
and these are the reasons why cats end up in shelters, and
yeah.
we put this thing together and finally I'm like, just start them on Prozac. And even though there's this weird stigma about kitty Prozac, a month later, the cat's happy.
You know, that's the thing, though. It's like, I mean, antidepressants are, you know, there's a lot of beings on antidepressants, and they work in many, 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 many cases. And so if you can give your cat a pill that's going to radically change its life, why not?
Why not? Know? Yeah. And there's other therapies, too. Like, I do some herbology with some of these guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there's always the non-pharmaceutical approach, you know, and I think the best medicine happens when you merge the two. I don't think you can exclusively do one, mm-hmm. exclusively do the other. I think nutrition is critical
yeah,
to these
really
guys.
Is.
But, you know, just finding different things that works and understanding that each patient is an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So probably what you go through in your daily life and what is medically important to you is probably totally different than what's medically important to me.
Totally.
And how we manage our bodies is different.
And I love that because it's so many times it's just like, oh, well, you know, you open up the book and it's like, okay, cat is, I don't know, sneezing. Okay, this is what this is. And so, the, you yeah. know, and it's like, it's not that simple.
It's not
know?
A Google search.
No, and those are yeah. super fun when the clients do those.
Oh, I love it when they're like, well, the Google said. And
it's
I'm like, the Google didn't go to veterinary school. Sometimes some people end up on good tangents and they'll end up down the, you know, the correct rabbit hole. And
yeah.
other times I'm like, all right, we need to pull it back here a little bit. Let's sit down and look at this and let's do some diagnostics and let's figure out what's actually going on.
Yeah, we had a client that came in with a dog, a big dog. I don't remember what it was. But it was a big, big dog. And the owner was convinced he had cancer in his ankle. Convinced, right? And it was really interesting because the guy did a lot of, I was impressed. Like, the research was really good. And it was like, well, you know, there's no tumor yet. So let's do
wait.
Some rads and see if there's a tumor. And no, he's lame. He's limping. I don't know. It's a tumor. Went on and on and on. Finally did all the rads and stuff. The thing had a splinter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Thank God.
That's like
it saved him a fortune, you know. But he was actually kind of bummed out because it wasn't like, you know, the expert, like, research guy, you know, who figured
but that's
it
why
all
when
out.
We do studies, we do double blind studies. It's so easy to convince yourself that this is what it is, and doctors do it too. And there's
the
been
time.
Times when I've caught myself, and I'm like, well, hold on, let's back it up here,
mm-hmm.
let's find reason for what it is that you're believing, and not just, you know, be like, oh, it's got to be right. Because, you know, end all be all, medicine is using data and analytics mm-hmm. to look at what's going on and to make a decisive decision.
Totally.
It's not going on a hunch,
you
can follow a hunch, but you got to go with the science.
I learned my lesson, man, because, you know, after a couple of years, I was like, all right, you know, amateur diagnostician, basically, and
yeah.
keep it to myself, thank God. Or, I mean, they would have fired me in a second. But it was like, oh, that's what's wrong with them. It's like, totally wrong. You're like,
yeah.
totally wrong. You're like, okay, this is why we have vets that spend a million years in school studying all this stuff. Because it really, it ain't that easy, especially when you have a client that can't go, it really hurts on my shoulder. You know, it's just, you just don't know. So you've got to deal with that. And then cats masking pain and dogs masking pain and all that.
And bringing it all down and looking at what it really is.
Exactly.
So it's the same thing with everything else. You look at people right now, there's a lot of folks out there trying to debunk science at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
yeah.
we all know what we're talking about here. So, but science is real. Science exists.
Science is important.
Yeah.
It
and
really
it's
is.
It's important to sit down and, like, really analytically look at things. Because not everything's binary, too. It's not always a yes
true.
Or no answer. There's many shades of gray out there.
That's really, really true. And so are you guys sticking with dogs and cats? You seeing anything else?
Dogs and cats.
Cool.
That's what I do.
Cool.
There's lots of other people out there who do everything else under the sun.
Totally.
But it really is, you know, dogs and cats keep me busy.
That's
and they're very different.
Yeah, and there's enough information with those two.
There's a lot going on with them, and there's people, if you're going to get into birds, you really got to know what you're doing with birds.
No kidding, my God.
So let the bird people do the birds.
Yep.
There's people who do reptiles, again, totally different
yep.
thing altogether, and let them do their thing. I'll stick to my dogs and cats.
And I mean, that's for all you guys out there with an exotic pet too, meaning not a dog or a cat. You know, if you want to get them a checkup, which you should, do your research, find an exotic medicine hospital. There's a great one in the city. We've done a couple interviews with them. Check them out for your, you know, rabbits, lizards, snakes, all the groovy things. So, but dogs and cats, you can come to you guys.
Yes,
so that's
we would
awesome.
Love to take care of all your dogs and cats out there.
Yay. So I really, really, really want to talk to you about cold laser therapy, but we need to take a quick break. So let's take the break and then we can babble.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Today's program was brought to you by Forever Cheese, Masters of the Mediterranean. Forever Cheese is dedicated to sourcing the absolute best and most authentic products from Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Croatia. They started out with just one cheese, then four, and never knew that they would have the breadth of product and the richness of working with so many fantastic producers across the Mediterranean. Michelle Buster and Pier Luigi Cini have this singular vision to be the best they could be and bring products never before seen to the U.S. They were sure that with education and sampling, there was a market for such a myriad of handcrafted traditional and non-cheeses and specialty foods. Pier Luigi comes from a family of cheesemakers, and after teaching Michelle all he knew, together they set out one day at a time to make a difference not only in their country, but in the lives of each of their producers. For more information, visit forevercheese.com.
And we are back. I am talking to Dr. Taylor Truitt, who owns the Vet Set in Carroll Gardens. It's an awesome little spot. I need to go see it too, but we're talking about it, and now I really want to see it because it's all brand new and revamped, so that's really awesome. All right. We were talking. I found out that you guys do cold laser therapy, and I'm fascinated by this because I have no idea what that is. So can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a fabulous, not new technique. So
really?
So we started off like many things in vet med. We extrapolated it from the human side. Mm-hmm. Cold laser therapy was approved by the FDA in 2004.
Wow.
So it's been around for a bit.
Wow. Okay.
Just like other lasers have been showing up, mm-hmm. hair removal, tattoo removal, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So a laser is a laser.
Mm-hmm.
And what a laser is it's focused particles of protons, and they go in and they form the beam. So we've all heard, I'm sure we're all familiar with the concept of laser beams.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. And these are not hot. If you let it sit on your tissue too long, it feels warm and tingly, and
okay.
it can be a little uncomfortable, but
okay.
you move the beam around. And what the beam does is it goes in and interacts with the particles in the tissue. Once that takes place, you're going to increase circulation into the area. So you're going to draw blood flow into the area.
Mm-hmm.
This is beneficial for a few reasons. It's going to bring in oxygen and healing nutrients into the area,
nice.
So that's good. It's also when you have that oxygen and the healing nutrition comes in, you're going to have the oxygen, carbon dioxide, and all the entire exchange that takes place through normal tissue, which is why you have circulation,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to take away inflammatory mediators.
Oh my God.
And yeah, so you're going to induce healing and take away inflammation.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's great. And so we've been using it a lot on arthritis is our biggest indicator that we
okay.
use it for. And that works great because you're able to go into arthritis is inflammation of the joint.
Yeah.
So you're able to take away some of the swelling. Also, the increased circulation, it just feels better. I've been actually treating my own foot for it at my doctor's recommendation. My ankle surgeon from Hospital for Special Surgery told me to do it
nice.
With my laser that I have. So he's like, if you have it, use it.
Awesome.
Because otherwise I'd be going to physical therapy for it.
Yeah, totally.
So save a little money there. It does that. And then it basically brings down the inflammation. The patients feel so much better. The beautiful thing about it, too, is, one of the more common, I'm going to use common loosely
yeah.
alternative therapies is acupuncture.
Totally.
And I do acupuncture. I'm a big believer in it.
Cool.
And there's indications where I can use acupuncture, but not laser therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I can use laser therapy for, I can use acupuncture, but there's some arenas where I believe that the laser therapy is better. One of them is wound healing.
Really?
So if you think about it, you've got inflamed tissue.
Yeah.
I'm going to use example. I had this poor dog, 40-pound terrier mix, and he mm-hmm. got bit by a spider. And it just destroyed his leg. So I had to go in. I surgically debrided it, took away a lot of the infected tissue.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I did some laser treatments. I did it on day 1, day 3, day 7, and day 10.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing healed so much better.
Really?
Yeah. It was just amazing how quickly it went by. And I think we probably took off about 10 days of healing time.
Nice.
Which is great. And it's great for the owner. And it's great for the dog. Because it's
a lot.
And it also means 10 days without the e-collar.
Oh, man.
Which,
yeah, right? That alone
that
is like
right there. So, we're using them on anal gland for pets that have anal
really?
Gland problems. We're using it there. And any inflammatory condition, I'm using it all my, whenever I have a pet that goes to surgery now,
mm-hmm.
or if I do oral surgery in their mouth, I treat their incisions afterwards.
That's awesome.
And they heal up faster. Period, end of story.
It's amazing. I can't believe not everybody has this.
They're not cheap. Yeah. But then again, when you're breaking it down as to, you know, the cost of an acupuncture treatment versus a laser therapy treatment, it's actually more cost efficient. And the reason is that I prescribe the treatment. I do the initial treatment. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I end up prescribing it out to my technician.
Oh, nice.
And so because they're doing the treatment, you know, just it's a little bit cheaper than when the doctor comes in and does it.
Totally.
It doesn't mean I'm not overseeing it. I'm always checking in on all my patients and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
And also, another patient I have, he's this three-legged bulldog.
Oh.
And he's amazing, but he does not hold still at all. For three legs, this dog gets around. He's 12 years old. And we were talking about acupuncture for him. Mm-hmm. And the big problem with him is the holding still factor.
Yeah.
It was never going to happen where this dog would hold still for 20 minutes.
Oh my God, forget it.
But we can get him to hold still for 2.5 minutes.
So
when we're treating section by section, we do one section, let him do his thing, do another section, you know, another area, let him do his thing and that. And so we're able to actually successfully complete the treatment, and he's doing pretty darn good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for a 12-year-old, 3-year-old, or three-legged bulldog.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's so. If people that are, if you're doing cold laser therapy, it's a series of appointments?
Yeah, it's a series of appointments. For some patients, like let's say we hot spots.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, we can treat hot spots. And so for that dog, we might just do one and it heals up and great, we move on. But from chronic conditions, anytime you have something that's chronic, it's always going to take longer to resolve.
Yeah.
The longer the condition has been there, the longer we need to treat it. And that's just kind of a decent rule of thumb. So what I do recommend in the ideal situation for chronic conditions is I do 3 treatments the first week, mm-hmm. 2 treatments the second week, and 1 treatment the third.
Cool.
After that, I start staging it out. Mm-hmm. I have some dogs that can go every 2 or 3 weeks. I have some dog that's once a month. I have some dogs where the owners just call me when it's time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that works great too. I think, you know, I call them when they start having crunchy days again mm-hmm. for their arthritis.
Totally.
We just get them in, treat them, and out they go. So, and it's instantaneous. A lot of the dogs, they're like, afterwards, they're bebopping around, they're feeling good, and they come in, they're all excited because they know they're going to get laser treatment and cookies.
So, like, that we used to have a lot of acupuncture clients, and so, like, the dogs that were getting it consistently knew, you know, and they were like, oh, I'm here for my treatment and all that.
Yeah.
You're getting the same thing with your pets, like your dogs.
Yeah, they feel good afterwards, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. And we're treating cats, too. And so for cats where arthritis really is a major problem and we're very limited in what we can do for them, it's a really nice modality to add into their treatment so that we can make them feel better.
I'd be really interested to see how that would work on, like, declawing scar tissue. You know? I know. It's the worst.
It's the worst. Nobody should ever declaw.
No.
Terrible. Check out the Paw Project. They're on Facebook. They're an amazing group. But, yeah, declawing is horrible. I've never done one. Never will.
It's brutal. It's barbaric. And it's the amount of pain that it leaves the animal in is... They don't just pull out the nail. If you want to know what they do, Google it. I can't even get into
it. We won't go into it right now. It's terrible.
Nasty.
It's just woo downer.
But so you can, like, pinpoint that laser to, like, really get like into knuckles and things like that, like tiny.
Yeah, you can get into small little areas, and you know, you can make it, because it comes down to when we're deciding where to set the laser at, it's the size of the patient.
Okay.
So the, you know, how much does the patient weigh, the depth of the tissue that we're treating. Mm. So if we're treating say, like, you know, hips on a Rottweiler, I'm gonna have deeper tissue to get into versus like, you know, an 8-pound skinny kitty.
Right
So that's gonna make a variation, and then also the size of it. And so from there, we're then the software does a calculation for us, and it comes with how many joules, mm-hmm. which is how we measure the intensity of the laser, and it tells us what to do.
Okay, now this is really a stupid question, but like,
there's no stupid questions.
Thank you. That's why you're invited on my show. See, that's why I like you so much. Okay, I've done like traditional laser torture of like, you know, whatever it is. I don't know if it's a hot laser or whatever, but like, you know, for like, I went to go get, okay, I have a chunk of spider veins on my leg from an old riding injury from 1,000 years ago. So like, oh, we can fix that.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, it really hurts. Like, I'm assuming this isn't painful or the animals wouldn't stay still.
This is different. So this is where the cold comes into it. Mm. It's just a different way that the beam comes out together.
So wild.
So, yeah, it's the way that the photons come out of the machine. And this is getting more into the physics side of it. Mm-hmm. But it's just a different, it's probably a different, and I know it's a different value of joules.
Yeah.
So you're probably, because the idea for you is to destroy.
Exactly.
And the idea for me is therapy. So I'm not using as many joules.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and it does. Like, if I crank it up, because I've tried it on me, mm-hmm. If I crank it up really high, and then I leave it in one place on my tissue and don't move it, yeah, it gets a little uncomfortable.
Oh, no, this is hell. This yeah. is like a rubber band, like, yeah, like every time.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. It's not good.
I'm just amazed at people's pain thresholds because I'm a big baby. I can't handle it.
No, it's different because the idea there is to destroy and the idea for us is to heal.
Makes sense.
So, and trust me, if the pet didn't like it,
oh my God,
they're
going
to let you know.
Yeah, it's true.
So
you'll have a lot of techs with like scar tissue on their hands and arms if that's the case.
It happens. They let us know very gracefully or not.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, my God. Isn't that the truth? My Lord. And so the results that you're seeing when you're doing these like series of treatments, do you find that they can be permanent or is this just like a therapy that you would use continuously throughout an animal's life if needed?
It depends upon what the what we're treating and mm-hmm. why we're treating it. So for like chronic arthritis, I mean, that's a chronic condition.
Exactly.
So that's going to be a maintenance thing. Skin issues, you know, the skin can come and go. Mm-hmm. Some of it can be seasonal if it's allergic based or something like that. So and then there's some cats, too. You know, like there's one kitty. He's got pancreatitis where we treat his abdomen when he's having flare-ups.
Wow.
And so, and he resolves quicker that way. And so
wild.
We just, yeah, and again, we're doing deeper treatments, yeah. So it's a higher voltage, and he's a nice cat, so he's going to get on his back
God.
Rest. Yeah, because that's a big deal. But we don't have to shave them.
We
can work through the fur. We take that into, you know, consideration when we're adjusting our treatment
that's
therapy.
Huge.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, we can't be shaving animals all over the place.
My
America
God.
Would hate us.
Oh, forget it. Be like, what's wrong with that clinic? Every time they come out, the animal's like bald.
Yeah.
You
know? No, you can't do it. So, but it's just, it comes down to the therapy that we're doing it. But again, chronic things require chronic treatment.
Fair enough.
You know, you're not going to fix arthritis, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point.
But you manage it.
It's something to keep in mind, too, because, you know, it's like they're all these, you have so many tools in your chest, which is what I love, is that you've got all these solutions and all these different things. And so that you can really custom make a protocol sheet and, you know, stick to it because you've got all these awesome machines and all this kind of thing.
Thank you. That's what I pride myself on.
It's important, man.
Because each one's different, you
yeah.
know? I mean, there's not two that are out there that are exactly the same. Even sibling patients, you know, I've got the siblings from the litter. They're usually pretty darn different.
That's always a trip to me.
Well, look at our siblings. Do you have siblings?
We look like the Von Trapp family. My siblings, if you threw us all in a room in 5 seconds, you'd yeah. be like, that one, and that one. Like, there's no question with us.
Yeah.
Since I've dyed my hair, it's a little harder for people, but now we're like...
But personality-wise and medical, you know, usually yeah. they're very, very different.
We're pretty close. My family's weird. I mean, we're pretty close. We're
Get
like,
out.
We're all, I know, imagine, right? No, we have a white sheep in our family.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
And the one that made it.
Today. Exactly. We'll see what happens. Now, we're all a little bit zany and we're all a little weird and we all have the same twisted sense of humor that I do. Thank God.
Oh, you mean you're a family?
I know. It's kind of weird.
We're
just like a family of weirdos, but, you know, somebody's got to do it, so why not? What the hell? It always works. But yeah, with the sibling thing, it's true. I mean, it's I have the same thing I was dealing with years ago in nutritional counseling with sibling animals, and it was a trip because it was like one had horrible food allergies and the other one could tolerate, and so it was that whole game of like, what can I feed this one? What can I feed this one? Can we feed any of them the same thing? And then the chasing them away from the food, and you know.
Well, nutrition's a huge deal. Let's talk yeah. about that a little bit because that's one of the biggest questions I get. How much, you know, what
yeah.
kind, what brand? The market's been inundated with like just so many foods, I can't even keep up with it anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't think there is one diet that's great for everybody.
Mm-mm.
You have to look at what the needs are of that particular pet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking into Chinese food therapy, you can look at warming foods and cooling foods.
Totally.
And so you got to break that all down. And you can make things as easy or as complicated as you want.
Exactly.
And some people, they're totally into it. I do kind of discourage completely home-cooked meals. They're never balanced right.
Mm-hmm.
It is a problem.
Yeah.
And with all the stuff that's out there now, I can't even like kind of wrap my head around why, because you can find stuff that you can bring into your home that's the equivalent of someone doing the cooking for you.
Yeah.
And it's all laid out for you versus
exactly.
trying to get
and
it balanced.
It's right, which is really, really nice too. I mean, there's some people that can do it, but it's the kind of thing where it's, oh my God, we had a client one time. This was amazing.
Oh God.
We had this client. It was this shih tzu that came in that... it was a mess. I mean, we'll just be nice and say it was a mess. And that was just the exterior. The interior was even worse. And Doug's almost anorexic, and it's like, what is going on with this? And I'm doing the health history, and I was like, what do you feed your dog? And he goes, newspaper and ice cream.
What?
I swear to God. And that's what I did, right? And he gets all pissed off and's like, well, he likes it. And I was like, dude, I like beer, but I don't drink it every day. Like, what are you saying to me? You know, it was like, really? And he got like really pissed off. And I mean, this poor dog, he was like 9 years old and was grew up on fucking newspaper and ice cream.
That's insane.
And then you wonder why your dog's sick.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. And shockingly, he was diabetic. I mean, oh, my God. You know, it's like, how did this happen? It's like you're giving your dog like cups of sugar a day. I don't know.
Oh, those are just faceplant moments in veterinary medicine.
It's pretty fascinating. There were a couple of those. So that guy I'll never forget. I mean, the last thing I'll see when I die is like his face flashing going newspaper and ice cream. It was like, oh my God, really?
And the thing is, it's like, it's just no. It's, even like it's newspaper. I don't understand.
It was like, and the hardest thing too is, you know, working at a clinic is when you hear stuff like this, like you got to keep your game face and you're just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You just write it down, and then you politely be like, let's reconsider your ideas here.
I'm going to get the doctor. I'll be back in a minute. Oh, my God, you guys. You know, but we don't do that to everybody, so please don't think that we're back there making fun of you. I mean, newspaper and ice cream.
Unless you're feeding your pet newspaper and ice cream, in which case, you know, no.
We'll give you a hard time on that one, you know, but.
No, and the vast majority of people, they do a really, really good job.
Yeah, they do.
And they're open to change, too, and they really want to do what's best. I mean, even today, going back to the border collie, we're putting that dog on kind of more of a cancer type diet.
Nice.
So high protein, low carb.
Nice.
Getting her loaded up on supplements.
Cool.
I'm going to start her on some herbs.
Cool.
And to complement her chemo. But you know, most people, they're willing to will sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people too, if your dog has a sensitivity and he's doing well, don't change it.
No kidding.
It's working.
Yeah, exactly.
Are the poops normal? Yes. Your dog's not vomiting anymore? Great.
Yeah.
Then don't change it. Your pet's happy.
Well, I mean, I think one of the biggest problems that a lot of pet owners have is that everything is about the poo, especially if you got to clean it up. Like in New York City, everybody's obsessed with their dog's poo. So if the poo's not right, must be the food. And so what you'll find is, you know, well, this is really what your pet should be eating. Well, I transferred him over and I did a month, but his stool's loose and it's gross. So we went back to, you know, kibbles and bits or whatever. And you're going, oh my God, it's the equivalent of, it's not even like a hot dog a day. It's just like eating garbage, you know?
Processed ice cream and newspapers.
And newspapers.
Wrapped up and colored.
Totally. So, and it's really pretty and it smells nice too. But yeah, that was the thing that was my big thing is, you know, if you can, you don't have to break the bank, but if you can afford to pay a better diet,
you get your money's worth out of it.
So do.
But you got to find the right one too. I've seen people spend a lot of money on what would be really good food for a different dog.
Totally.
So,
totally.
Yeah, it's just coming into and looking at what it is. And if things aren't going well, please come in. We're more than happy to talk to you.
Mm.
We do a lot of nutritional discussions. And
nice.
Yeah, down to where it is in every single medical record of what is my patient eating.
Awesome.
Because I can't keep track of it all. Because everybody, I'll recommend something for dog A and something for dog B.
Yeah.
And cat C gets this and cat D gets that. So where it becomes a problem, dogs I can do okay with is when you have cats in the same household that need separate diets.
That's the worst.
It's the worst. Because that really is. It's a logistics game now.
It is. And then you're putting one in one room to feed them, and then they sneak out, and the other sneaks in, eats the food, and it's like, you know, it's just
and
like,
who's eating what? It's like, who's on first?
Yeah, I have this at my house. It's super fun. Feeding time is always a joy. I love it.
And
know?
So I just tell my owners, I'm like, what can you do? You know, what's going to keep you sane? And what are you able to do? And what's not going to cause you stress? Because that is part of quality of living, too.
It's true.
How are my owners doing?
And it's like, I mean, you can give a recommendation and be like, you know, you need to do this, 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 and this. And then they come back in a month and you're like, what are you doing? And they're like, I did one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, what I learned over the years is like, how much do you want to do? How much can you do?
Or start them slow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, put the training wheels on.
The slow add-ins.
Yeah. And then, you know what they're responding to.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you sit there and you dump like 7 or 8 things all at once, I have no idea what's doing what.
That's a good point.
So, you know, okay, we'll do this. All right. Things are going well. Great. Cool. Let's add this in.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do this?
Yeah.
You can do this. Great. Okay, cool. Keep moving.
That really, really helps. And so, I mean, this seems like a ridiculous question, but it really isn't. I mean, as a vet, like, what is like the basic things that you recommend for a healthy pet?
Annual examinations.
Yeah.
Honest, bring your pet in
once
a year and listen to what your recommendations are. You know, I'm a huge proponent of dental work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean dental work, dental care. Let me rephrase that, because that avoids dental work down the line. And I think that's a big thing we can do for our guys when they're older. So for about 8 years for a cat, 7 years for a dog, mm-hmm. I do recommend senior panels once a year.
Okay.
So we can check in on their kidney values, liver values, enzymes, thyroid, things like that. Mm-hmm. We find a lot. Find it early before they're not sick and they're just puttering around with these changes.
Yeah.
We can manage that. And sometimes we can fix it.
That's really cool. It's so true. I haven't taken my vet to the my pet to the dog or dog to the vet in 10 years. And it's like, and your dog is really, really sick.
And then they come in and there's like, all right, we got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'd rather get in front of the ball, you know, just like we go to the doctor once a year, we go to the dentist twice a year, and just listen to recommendations and then have a discussion as to why. It's okay to ask questions. Everything I put out there, it's not like you have to do it, but it's my job to recommend this is what I think is best for your pet.
And I mean, you got all the training, so like, you know, you should be listened to over, you know, Joe Schmo in the corner who's like, I feed my pet Elpo and they do great. It's like, you know, it really depends. So
yeah, and there's some dogs, you know, there's the lucky ones out there that are 14 years old and they're
doing
great.
Oh my god,
and
they thrive on it. Yeah. I know, it killed all my theories. It would be like, wait, you know, it's like the healthy newspaper and ice cream comes in and you're just like, crap.
But it's like the person who's 102 and still smoking a pack a day and drinking Jack Daniels. It's like, yeah, those people do exist.
Absolutely.
But it's not the norm.
Totally.
So, you know.
Totally. Yeah, so that makes it a little. Exactly.
Good for them.
God bless them, man. I respect those people.
Way to look down the barrel of the gun and be like, not today.
Seriously. So, since you've opened up the vet set, what's your favorite thing about it?
Oh, you know what? There's a few things. I love my relationships with my clients. I have a great staff. I'm so blessed.
Awesome.
So they're just fabulous people who really love what they do.
Nice.
I like looking to see what we've created together as a team and that what it's going to become, because I think we've really created a special place of healing. And yeah, it's nice to walk in every day and be like, all right, we got this.
That's awesome. That's huge, man. And to hear that from a vet, because sometimes, I mean, you know, you can back me up on this. Some days are just mayhem. And then it's like coming in the next day, it's like, oh God, you're unlocking the door. Like, what's going to happen today? And so to have that feeling of just having this team.
And today was a chaotic day. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. You know, there were some unexpected things that turned up. Usually that happens on Mondays. Cause we've got the things that have been hanging out, you know, over the weekend.
Totally.
But yeah. And even on the chaotic days, if you can walk out and be like, all right, that was good.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a good day then.
And it's like at the end of the day is if you know that you helped, you know, that was always the thing that was like,
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
So
nice.
No, it's a good question. But yeah, it's just, I feel blessed. This job, and I've learned too throughout the years, I've been practicing for over 10 years now. It's the first time I've ever felt old. when I had my 10-year reunion, I was like, you know, 30 came and went, no big deal. You know, this happened, no big deal. High school reunion, no big deal. 10 years of vet school. Oh my God. That bothered me. So, I just lost my train of thought.
It's okay.
It's still, I feel blessed to be in this this profession. You know, everybody who's in it, you do this because you love it.
Yeah.
Honestly, you can't not love it and do it, because it does. It takes a toll.
It's hard.
There's, you have to be in it. You put your heart and soul into it, and it gets really hard. There's things at times you see that you're like, it bothers you.
You know, I would like to talk for a second or two about one of the biggest things that I always dealt with at the vet clinic, which was super fun, was people's bills.
Oh boy. Okay.
And I want to talk to you about like the fact, you know, of like the machines that you have and like, what's the difference between your X-ray machine and, you know, I don't know, Columbia University's X-ray machine.
So, our one now, I'll tell you what, my old hospital in California, we actually had the old X-ray machine from Marin General.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So it was about 7 years old. And for Marin General, that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, honestly. We do have digital radiography and, that's, you know, it's amazing what you can do with it.
Cool.
It's
oh
so
my
cool.
God.
And how we can manipulate the images. Yep. And the images are just crisp and awesome.
Yeah.
You know, our dental X-ray machine is the same one my dentist dentist has. So it's, you know, again, the image qualities is just unbelievable. Yeah. And I can detect more and find more and do more. And, you know, it's important. And so the machines that we use and like the standard of care that I personally practice with, my standard's high.
Yeah.
And but I then also looking into bills, which is a big part of my day, is balancing what I'm doing and putting a price tag on it.
But it's also, I mean, you're using machines that are used on people. Like what one of the biggest things that always surprised me is that a lot of people going to vet's offices didn't understand. It was almost like there was like a doggy kitty x-ray, so this would be cheaper. And it's like, it's the same technology.
No, they're not cheap either.
No, they're not.
And
my
in New
God.
York State, the legislation, all the restrictions they put on here, oh my God, I thought California was bad. New York wins. Yeah. So congratulations, New York State.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we're number
way
one.
To go.
Yeah, we love being so, difficult and technical.
Yeah, yay. No, it's the same stuff for the most some of it's sized differently. A lot of stuff we will use is pediatric, but a lot of it really is it's high quality equipment geared towards the veterinary settings. And the reason is that, you know, especially when we're thinking about things like anesthesia, all of my patients are on EKGs, blood pressure machines, oxygen saturation, temperature monitors. They're on, you know, warmers to make sure their temperature, you know, when they wake up, I want them over 99 degrees. If you've ever had surgery and woken up frozen, you know that
sucks.
That's
horrible.
Horrible. My patients don't do that.
I'm going to come to your place next time I need a procedure.
Yeah. But the pricing's real, though. And so, like, even on our website, which is www.vetset.net, our pricing's all on there.
Cool.
You can go and look and see what it is, and we provide estimates for everyone.
Nice.
And, you know, and here's the thing. When I provide an estimate and a recommendation, if it's not possible, then you just let me know. It's like, all right, what can you do?
Totally.
And we sit there and we pick it through. I'm always going to come out and offer the gold standard first.
Absolutely.
But if that's not possible, we'll work with you.
And it's like, you know, this then like the drugs and like all the stuff, it's the same stuff that you see in doctor's offices. This isn't like a play school cut down version for kitties and doggies or anything like that.
No, it's the same thing. You know, I've got a medical degree.
Exactly,
paid for that medical degree, and both emotionally and financially. It's honestly, it's all the same standard of care that would go into on the human side of things. And I take it very, very seriously, because end all be all is that these pets are people's family members.
Totally.
And they're entrusting them to me. And it's exceptionally important that for them to know that when their pets come to me, that they're going to be taken care of well and appropriately and loved. So
now, I mean, the people in your neighborhood, it's like I was in your neighborhood earlier today and it was so cute. There was a woman walking her dog and the dog sneezed and all of a sudden she looked up and she's like, God bless you. And I was like, man, this is us, you know.
Yes.
Like we love our pets in this neighborhood big time, and they really are a number one priority in our neighborhood. So I think you're in a great spot too.
Well, it's not even our neighborhood. I mean, nationwide, I think it's like 70 or 80% of all people who own pets now think of them as family members.
Wow!
And so when the economy tanked back in 2008, 2009, the vet industry, we were hit hard. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But people made it work.
Yep.
Because they also were like, this is really important to me.
Yep.
You're like, we'll cut things out elsewhere and to make sure that my pet gets what it needs.
Mm-hmm. And there are options like this. So it's, you know, you can work with your doctor to create a protocol that works for everybody. You know, you don't have to, it's not end all and be all. Some cases are. If it's life or death, that's a different story. But, you know, I like the fact that you guys are flexible and you're willing to do that and able to do that as well.
Well, most veterinarians are, though. That's the thing. And you just have to be, what I tell anyone is, you know, if you're coming to see me or you're coming to see anybody else, just be upfront. Be like, hey, listen, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. This is what I hope we can do. And then it's also the veterinarian's job to be like, you know, to inform you, are your goals realistic?
Mm-hmm.
And I do look at it, like I look and I sit down with people. I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about what our goals are here. And let's talk about expectations, because sometimes people's expectations are a little too lofty for what the seriousness of the problem is at hand.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to reset and be like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That can't happen. You know, unfortunately, I can't get your dog to live to be 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had someone ask me that. I'm like, that is highly improbable. It's always a chance.
Oh, my God. If you could do it, you'd be a billionaire.
Yeah, but it's also, too, it's like getting people to live to be 136.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and it's also quality of life. Like, you only live to be 136, like, in a wheelchair for the past next 40 years or, like, as a vegetable for 10, like, you know, so, like.
Yeah, and so it comes down to what's right for you and what's right for your pet, and then just being having open lines of communications. The best doctors I know are the ones that are really good with the medicine, but are also really good with their people.
And that's a rare combo, man, if you find a vet like that. And I mean, you're awesome. You're so much fun to talk to. It's like, yay. I will definitely come see you with my cats.
I would love to see your kitties.
They're very overdue. Yeah. Right?
No, and it's terrible. And it's also finding somebody you jive with too, you know, like I'm very practical. I'm a little bit of a smart ass. And yay. I find the fun in it though too. Like there, you got to laugh at this job.
Oh my God, you have to.
Because there's just ridiculous things. Yeah. It's like, oh look, I just pulled out the remote control from your dog's stomach.
Oh
I think this
God.
Is funny.
I know, right? It's like, hey, did you lose a ring? Yeah. We had an engagement ring inhaled.
And was it real?
You know, I don't know.
So diamonds, okay, ladies, listen up.
Oh, God.
Diamonds should not show up on x-rays. So you should just see the setting.
No way.
So, you know, stories from the field.
It was a cubic zirconia then, because I thought
the dog swallowed the ring. She thought she had this massive ring, and we're just like, oh, my God, did we tell her that it's fake?
Oh, my God.
And so...
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, sadly, we are out of time. That went so fast.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's just so much fun coming in here.
It's always great, great to have you. Where can we find you? You guys are social media, like, mavens. So tell us everywhere we can find you. The Instagram's adorable, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So our Instagram is at The Vet Set. Our Facebook feed, which has taken a little bit of a hiatus, but is coming back online, is at Vet Set NYC.
Cool.
And Twitter, again, also a little bit of a hiatus, is at The Vet Set NYC.
Perfect.
Check out our Facebook, though. That's where you're going to find the most of what's going on. You'll see our patient pictures, some cases that we're following.
Oh, nice.
The spider bite I was talking about, that's on there.
Dude, in our neighborhood, you're going to see a lot of those.
Yep, I know.
I need to tell you this. They're everywhere.
They're fun to fix.
They're
terrible, but they are, you know.
Anybody on Union Street that comes sees you will have a spider bite. There's something really weird about Union Street, I swear to God.
Those old houses.
I know. The old brownstones.
Yeah, I mean, these old houses just carry all sorts of critters and things and stuff in them, so. But yeah, and then our address, we're in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn at 577 Henry Street. And our phone number is area code 917-741-4737. Give us a call. info@vetset.net is our email. And we'd love to hear from you.
And yeah, go there. Go there. They're awesome.
Yeah,
they're
come.
Super
we'll give
fun
you a
people.
Tour. We're good folks.
And we have another, if you guys are following on iTunes or Stitcher, you can go back and listen to the first interview with these guys when they first started. If you want to hear like how far they've evolved and what they do.
We've come a long way.
I'm really proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Man. This is no, especially in New York City, to like do this and take over. It's really, really great.
New York's been kind.
Good. Good. We can be awesome sometimes.
We love New York.
New York rocks.
Yay. Minus the weather.
I know, but we have to bitch about something.
Yep.
So, you know. That being said, I will be back next week with a new show. We're actually going to talk about spiders, I think.
Oh, fine.
So, I know. I'm very excited.
I'm not into the catch and release program.
Oh, I am. I can't. I'm like, but I'm very excited to learn about them. But this was great. And thank you so much for coming in. I always love having people in the studio with me. It's always very exciting. To all the listeners, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. I will be back next week with a new show. Up until then, please take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization, driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. One night